was kind of comparing myself to these people that were like 5'2", which obviously their bodies are so small because they're 5'2", and trying to keep up with that mentality of being like them, which is just so stupid. But what I think a lot of it is instilled in me from my mother, because she was always like, stand tall, you know, your body is your body. You are not going to be any shorter than you are. You know, you have a beautiful figure. You're in proportion. You need to embrace the fact that you are going to stand out for the rest of your life. You know, be proud of it, be confident, walk with your head held high. If you want to wear heels, wear what you want. And I think that liberation in growing up with that constant affirmation of who I am and how proud I should be, coming from my mum who's a single mother, it was just very inspiring for me. To make it feel so cold. One day you'll see I'll be the person you'd want to be. But for now I can't.
October 2020, guys, how are you doing? How are you holding up? You know, October is the month of anti-bullying, and I actually wrote this song, Take Me Away, as an expression of my experience with bullying growing up in the south of France, being so tall and being so different. And anti-bullying month has always been something near and dear to my heart, and it's really one of the catalysts to, you know, this song and talking about bullying. It was really one of the catalysts of starting the T Factor podcast, starting the T Factor blog, and trying to find a way to lead a more meaningful life, which really starts with self-love and self and understanding of the past, understanding of what's happened, and understanding of the choices that we make in life based on the circumstances. And creating the T Factor for me has been one of the most fulfilling experience that I could have come up with, because it has helped me, and I know it has helped so many of you to see that, one, we have a choice to create our own destiny, or create our own luck, or create our own positive life, and we also have a chance, and we also have a choice to understand our past in order to create a better future. And it has taken me a long time to figure that out. And, you know, working on myself, working on my mindset has helped me understand my past better, understand all the mistakes that I've made and the choices that I've made based on my insecurities, based on my fear, based on my shame. Most of it is shame, that my body was an obstacle to everything that I wanted to achieve. And, you know, it's hard for people from the outside to understand what it is I'm talking about, but shame really is something deeply rooted. And I grew up with an idea of my body being wrong. I'm wrong. Everything about me is wrong. And it has taken me a lifetime to figure that out and to stop thinking that way. And our guest today has certainly not needed a lifetime to figure that out, because she is the most positive, I don't know, inspiring woman I've spoken to in a long time. And I really recommend you guys listen to this episode, because she's an amazing dose of just pure confidence, really just pure confidence. And we talk everything curvy world, we talk everything tall and how she's gotten to that place. And you heard a little snippet of how she did get to that place, how her mother has really helped her along the way. And Alexis Fenton is now a mother herself. So how is she planning to teach her child or her children, if she gets any more? And these are the questions that we share, because I wonder about that myself with my own children. So stick around. I am so excited to have you on, and I love all your messages. Don't forget to review this podcast if you have a chance on iTunes. This is the only way that we can be found by other people like you who can benefit from all the conversations and all the goodies that we talk about here at the Tea Factor. Tall is beautiful. We celebrate tallness, and I want to see you on the other side, on my blog, on my socials. So just stick around, give us a shout, and I want to hear from you.
I would hide behind big clothes, behind fun lies. I was too tall, too strong, too blonde, and too
good morning to me.
Anyone to
yes,
like
thank
me.
You. Thank you for having me.
What time is it where you are?
It is 11:30 in the morning.
11:30 in the morning, and it's 9:30 the night before for me here yes. in the States. Where are you? Which town?
In Brisbane, in Queensland.
Ah, you're in Brisbane. Okay. Well, it's definitely on my list of places to visit when we are allowed to travel again, when things get back to normal, which I think might probably never be. But what do you think?
I mean, I don't know. Australia's a little bit different. We're not as lenient as other countries. And I think that is difficult because, you know, there's, you know, in throughout Europe and even in the States, I've seen people traveling, whereas we are literally locked down in each state of our country. We can't leave our state. And our airlines have said, you know, we probably won't be going overseas for 3 years. So it's pretty crazy. From someone who's literally lived overseas and traveled like every few months minimum, for me, I'm like, what is happening right now?
That's crazy. I didn't realize it was so stringent over there.
Yeah, I think they're really, we don't have obviously anywhere near as many cases as overseas, but I think they want to try and minimize it quickly as possible because of our economy. There's less people here. I think a lot of the time they outsource to other countries. So they're trying to get businesses back in Australia really like sort of booming.
And has it affected your business?
It did right at the start because I think there was a lot of fear surrounding what's coming. So a lot of businesses kind of paused what they were doing, especially in marketing and social and advertising. They kind of needed to navigate where they were going. I was actually in Thailand with one of my clients, Komodo, at the time when COVID became massive, and every day we'd wake up and it would get worse. And so by the end of the week, my client, who's a travel company, influencer marketing, was, you know, their whole landscape had changed, and I ended up flying back in the day before everyone went into quarantine. It was the weirdest experience. Honestly, on my flight to Thailand, there was four people on my entire plane.
Yeah. I've had that in Europe because we had to travel during confinement, and it was quite impressive.
Yeah, I think now the landscape is a bit more positive over here, especially because people understand that the people who have been hustling and like continuing to pivot or make changes and consistently work are still seeing improvement within their businesses, but in a completely different way. But it's really about being flexible and adapting to this new normal that we have. If you don't, you're just not going to survive. And you do see that in a lot of businesses that are really sort of stuck in this mindset where, you know, this is how I've always done it. I'm not going to change it. And then they go bankrupt, basically.
No, absolutely. So, and that's what I wanted to discuss with you today, because you are a 6'3" entrepreneur who has founded your own company, like Yesterday Management. So can you tell us a little bit more about your company before we start talking about the fact that you are 6'3" and you are an influencer? So tell us about Like Yesterday.
So I actually started my business. It was originally called The Brand Queen when I lived in New York, because I saw a need for I have always worked as a head of marketing in a lot of businesses that I've worked in, but it's only ever really been me leading the entire marketing department, regardless of how many locations or volume of sales. It's really just been me. So I've had to really creatively think on my feet and build businesses with next to no budget. And honestly, it brings joys to my heart. But when I moved to New York, I was kind of in between sort of interviews and jobs. So I decided to launch my company, and I specialized in working with startups or emerging businesses. I then got poached a lot in between and worked in-house for a lot of people. And last year I decided, no, I would definitely focus purely on what I want to do. So this particular business, like Yesterday Management, is kind of like, how I explain it, your remote head of marketing. So instead of having someone within your business that is a head of marketing and you have overheads and all that type of thing, we essentially offer the same solution for you, but on a remote level. So all this 17 years of experience. Yeah. So all this experience I've learned and all this heartache I've gone through and stress I've gone through, it really has allowed me now to make really effective decisions quickly on how to grow businesses. And then I've actually recently just launched another business called Brand Fluff, and that is a content studio and marketing asset studio designed for startups and small businesses. Because the pain point for me is a lot of the time when you start a business, A, you're either time poor, your staff poor, or your budget. You just don't have the budget for it. Tell and so you often, you know, you create your own content at home, or, you know, you're trying to do these things that you see other people doing, but the quality isn't there and also the knowledge isn't there. So what I've done is created with my partner is an agency that allows you to have all this experience, but for a fraction of the price. So we are going to give you these packages that allow you to scale and become successful quickly with the same quality you expect from using a super large agency. Because honestly, I feel like I need to give back to these people so that they do have success from the start, rather than, you know, climbing and climbing and climbing, and it just takes so much longer. So that's why I decided to create that second business as well.
Yeah, that second business sounds amazing. It makes me think of, I don't know if you know Jasmine Starr. She's created something, I've been following her. She's created something, I think it's called Social Curator, and I think it's something similar to yours. But I want to understand, so what is it called, your second business, the Fluff?
Brand Fluff.
Brand Fluff, which is awesome. So you create content for influencers to, is it they purchase bundles and they can use your pictures and they can use your...
So this one's actually made for startups and small businesses. So I suppose if you're an influencer, you can use it. But what we do is, let's say you had a product, right? Let's say you're a beauty company and you sold, I don't know, rollers, skincare rollers. Yeah. So all you would do is literally go on, have a look at the package that suited you on our website, put in your aspirations, your mood board, and then we send us the product. We shoot everything for you, plus produce all of your marketing assets to go with that for your stories and your cover boards and your highlights and everything like that, and send it back to you. So it's a very plug and play style system. So you don't really have to think about anything. We come up with all the creative concepts, you approve them, and then we send it back to you. And it's basically like, you know, I explain it like a marketing Uber. Like, we send you your monthly packages every month, depending on what sort of content you're looking at. I mean, we do offer custom options because, you know, with the success of TikTok and the success of Instagram Reels, that's becoming a massive game changer in terms of the algorithm. So we can do content like that as well. But this is specifically for people who have a product or have a service, and they need quality content that converts, basically. So we produce that for them.
That sounds amazing. And a lot of the listeners have their own, you know, tall fashion brands, and they've all in that stage of being a startup because they want to make a difference. And they also come from that space of wanting to fill a gap of stuff that is missing out there. So a branding company like yours would just suit them amazingly. So hopefully I'm going to have a lot of listeners who are going to be curious to know who you are and what you offer, because it looks very impressive what you do. And also what I was impressed about when I found you is your confidence. And that's what I wanted to tap into, because you call yourself a curvy 6'3" Australian or Aussie. and you show it. You really, it's very inspiring. And I wanted to know a little bit of your background to try to tap into how you manage to get so confident with your body, and how you want to share with others that you needn't be ashamed or wanting to shy away from the person that you're supposed to be. So where did you grow up?
I grew up on the Gold Coast in Australia. And side note, for a lot of people who don't really know much about the Gold Coast, everyone is blonde and tiny. And that is not me in any sense. So I grew up in a community that embraces the skinnier you are, the better you are, basically. And, you know, obviously being 6'3", I'm very tall for a female, especially in Australia. And people, I suppose I was always in the mindset when I was growing up, you know, not really sort of in that dieting mindset, but I do remember being probably in my, when I turned like 13, 14, 15, I was kind of comparing myself to these people that were like 5'2", which obviously their bodies are so small because they're 5'2", and trying to keep up with that mentality of being like them, which is just so stupid. But what I think a lot of it is instilled in me from my mother, because she was always like, stand tall, you know, your body is your body. You are not going to be any shorter than you are. You know, you have a beautiful figure. You're in proportion. You need to embrace the fact that you are going to stand out for the rest of your life. You know, be proud of it, be confident, walk with your head held high. If you want to wear heels, wear what you want. And I think that liberation in growing up with that constant affirmation of who I am and how proud I should be, coming from my mum who's a single mother, it was just very inspiring for me. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of times where I'm in larger group situations when I was growing up and I felt really insecure because I was so tall. Mm-hmm. And I felt like people were staring at me, and you know, maybe they were because I was so tall, but as I've grown up, especially in my 20s, I just almost just didn't care anymore. Honestly, like it got to the point where I was like, yes, you're going to stare because I'm tall, but I'm so proud of who I am. And I work really hard on the way that I look and also the way that I come out to society and my confidence. And I think I want other women to know that your body is just a part of you. You know, your confidence is the thing that essentially turns heads when you walk into a room. You know, the fact that you're tall just accentuates that confidence, which is amazing. And it's really rare that I meet people anywhere near the height that I am. And when I do, it like gives me so much joy because I just love it, honestly. And I think the extra level of confidence came when I moved to America. When I lived in London, it's very similar to Australia, I felt. But when I moved to America, having a curvy body and owning the room is such an asset over there. And it just gave me this internal boost of confidence that growing up in Australia where everyone wants to be this tiny, tiny person, and going to America where it's okay to have hips and boobs and wear what you want was so liberating. And I moved back from America about 6 years ago now, and I just felt so confident. Honestly, it was skyrocketing. It was phenomenal. And since that point, which is when I actually started my Instagram, I have been on this journey for other people to realize that you can look however you want to look. But all that matters is, you know, really what's on the inside. Because if you are confident and kind and authentic and you can have real conversations with real people, it can help other people feel better about themselves. And I didn't really grow up with other women that were, you know, taller than me or anything like that. So I've had to kind of like come to terms with it on my own. But especially as a young girl growing up, you know, my best friend, her daughter is 6'2", and she was 6'2" when she was 14 years old. And she's beautiful, but I could tell she was really hunched over and nervous. And, you know, my goal was, you know, to make her realize that like, this is such an asset, you know, this is going to be one of your most defining assets, especially in your career. You know, people just get intimidated by a tall woman, but at the end of the day, that's great because maybe you'll get what you want because you can kind of have that conversation straight away rather than, you know, being in a smaller body where you kind of have to dominate the room. But yeah, I suppose that's really where it's come from.
Amazing, amazing. I love what your mother has instilled in you. Did you have a father figure growing up?
Yeah. So my dad was great. He is taller than me. My dad was 6'4". I'm 6'3". Yeah,
that's what I wanted to ask. Is your mom tall as well or not?
My mom is 5'11" and my sister is 5'10".
Okay.
So we are a tall family, but yeah, we're kind of the short ones because my cousin is almost 7 foot. Ah. So yeah, everyone is really, I mean, I'm definitely by far the tallest female in my, in like genetic line.
Right.
And yeah, I do definitely take after my dad in a lot of the way. And he's a super successful entrepreneur in his own right. He recently passed away, but it makes me really proud. Thank you. To think about, you know, so many values that I have came from him as well in terms of.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah. Just really, like really focused, but also super passionate about what you want to do with this life, because everyone can get unmotivated and I suppose lose hope along the way, but it's just that constant positivity that pushes you forward, knowing that, you know, if I keep going, consistency will pay off and hard work will pay off. So take these lessons on board and just move through them.
And did you know from the get-go, you said that when you moved to New York, you were already in marketing. Did you know from the get-go that that was your passion? That was something that you knew you could make a difference for other people?
Yes. I've worked in publicity, in PR and in marketing. But really when I moved to London and started working in the beauty industry, I realized that I'm a very creative person, but I had this overwhelming sense of positivity, regardless of the challenge that came before me. You know, there was never a barrier. You know, if there was a problem, I had to solve it because there was no room for failure, basically. And that's my sort of entire mindset. I suppose I don't even know how to explain it, but people like you just are a constant optimist. I'm a realist on the inside, but right, like to everyone else, I'm a consistent optimist. I believe that, you can make positive change regardless of anything that comes your way. You really just have to be on that pathway that allows you to, in the moment, have like a breakdown or whatever it may be, but then in your mind, know, okay, what's my actual goal here? Like, why am I doing this? And remind yourself and get to that next point.
Amazing. It seems like you really want to help or push a message through, even if it's, yeah, you know, when people work in marketing, maybe all they want to do is just help that product. And once they get paid, thank you, goodbye, you know, move on to the next. It seems that you have more of an ethos behind it.
I think it's because I've worked in startups, honestly, and you really have to live and breathe the passion of that company.
Yeah.
So you almost have to, you literally have to treat it like it's your own business. I have a really pet peeve about marketers that work in this industry and overpromise and completely underdeliver. And they just give such a bad name to this industry, because if you're in marketing, you need to literally infuse passion through any project that you're doing so that other people believe in that passion and that purpose. It's such an emotive story that you're trying to tell, and you need to make people believe it as much as you believe it. If you don't believe it, no one's going to believe it. So I think that's where it sort of come out of me, where I invest so much time into brands I work with or work for, which is great for them, but it creates a lot of stress for me. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm proud of the results that I've got for these businesses, knowing that I've done everything in my power to get them to that point.
And tell me a little bit more about your influencing. You mentioned that you started influencing on the side. Was it something that you just started on the side coming back to Australia?
Funny story, actually. Instagram came about when I lived in New York, but back then everyone just used it for editing photos basically with those random border filters and things like that. But when I moved back to Australia, I had a bet with a few girls that I worked in an office with that we all had around, I think it was like the 1,000 follower mark. And we had a bet of who could reach 5,000 followers first. So we put on this whole strategy each and tried. And I got to, I remember getting to 5,000 followers and I won and I was so excited. And then all of a sudden it just became more and more and more and more. But back then that was like pre-baby for me. So I was like a much smaller person and I had a very different, I suppose, like mindset of what I wanted to do on Instagram. It was just very like sexy and fun and all that type of thing. And then I kind of went off socials for about a year when I was pregnant because I just didn't have the time, basically. And then after I had my baby, I was like, no, this is the time. I'm going to celebrate the fact that I've had a baby and my body's changed, but it birthed a baby and I'm strong and I'm really proud of that. And so I started doing a lot more content post-baby. And that's when I started to get these amazing partnerships with brands that I've never had before that. But I also invested a lot more time and energy into the platform and actually producing content that I was really proud of, but also working with companies that I loved. And I actually loved the way that either the skincare or the fashion or whatever it was looked and felt on me. And that I knew that other tall women or other curvy women would appreciate the quality of these products too. So I started doing a lot more. And ever since then, it's just consistently grown and consistently grown. But especially in the last year, I've tried to be much, much more authentic on my platform and talk about things that I didn't normally talk about and not wear makeup in every story or every TikTok that I put up. Just to know that there is different facets to every person. Instagram, I think, can be a really difficult place for a lot of people because they think it's so perfect and that, you know, oh, I love your confidence. You're just so confident. You mustn't ever let anything bother you. Of course I let things bother me. Of course they do. And I would probably talk about them on my stories more than I would on my feed because I want my feed to be a place where I offer support or advice rather than, I suppose, having like a breakdown or something like that because everyone goes through bad days. I have bad days all the time. I work for myself. My whole life is stress. But at the end of the day, like I want to help others to feel good about themselves. So a lot of the time I'll have like a DM chat with people. Sorry, that was my phone. It buzzed. I'll have like a DM chat with people rather than I suppose having like a public comment because I just wanted to feel like them to know that they can have a direct conversation with me. You know, I'm quite open to a lot of the people that follow me.
Yeah, of course. And the feed should be a little bit more curated and then stories can be more about your personality.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about Reel that came out on Instagram or Reels.
Reels. Yeah. So I've been on. Yeah. So I'm on, I started, when Reels first launched, I decided to transfer quite a bit of my TikTok content that did quite well onto Reels just to see how it would go. And my TikTok content is definitely not my Instagram content. It's not this polished, beautiful look. Yeah. It's a combination of everything. I dance, I make fun of myself, it's makeup, it's all this business. And what's hilarious is I got so much negativity on my Reels. There's when I post photos of myself dancing, and I used to dance for years, but since I've had my baby, my body doesn't move the same way anymore. But the amount of comments about how fat I was and how disgusting I was and all this stuff on my Reels, I couldn't believe it. I mean, half the time I would name and shame, but I just deleted the comments because I can't be bothered tolerating those people and blocked them from my page. But overall, I think
I want to repeat that because I want people to know you have that power. You know, so many people just get downed by what they read and what people think of them. But yes, you, in the end, you have the power not to be bothered by them and to, as you just said, delete them or ask them to kindly, you know what, thank you for, you're welcome to unfollow me. Do you know?
I just think the way that social media works is you can be this anonymous person and you feel like some people, definitely not all, feel like they have the power to put people down because they're hiding behind a computer or their iPhone. And honestly, it's just pathetic. And I feel sorry for those people that do that, that A, you would waste your time and energy on doing that to someone, but also how sad your life must be that that's what you choose to do for something that you like to do. I think they need to look in the mirror and actually get off social media themselves and make their life a happier, positive place because, you know, you must be very depressed and I feel for you. And I think people have to understand and realize that this is a massive concern and definitely.
My daughter and her friend who are supposed to be sleeping decided to come down.
Hello.
It's going to go on my podcast, by the way. Bye. So, seriously, can you go back upstairs, please? It's actually interesting that my daughter came down just now from her bed. She was supposed to be sleeping because I wanted to ask you something. You're a mother. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have a boy or a girl?
I have a little boy.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 3.
3 years old. Oh, yeah. These are the good years. These are tough years. Oh my God, I remember. So you saw my daughter, she came down and so just mother to mother, she's been asking me questions about being so tall that she doesn't want to be that tall. And she's heard me talk about, because this is the T factor, and I talk about confidence and body image. And I think she's heard me talk about it also that I did the hormone therapy to stop growing myself. Mm-hmm. And she keeps asking me, mom, is there a pill I can take so I can stop growing? Because I really don't want to be that tall. I don't want to be tall. I don't want to be tall. It's ugly. I don't want to be tall. So, you know, speaking with someone like you who has so much confidence, who's had a mother who's uplifted her from the beginning. And I'm trying to compare, not only for my daughter, but also from my upbringing and from so many messages that I receive from listeners who have had the same shaky foundation that did not enable them to have a strong confidence and see their body for the see the worth in their body for what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting at 11 years old. My daughter is having that, oh, mom, I don't want to be this. So obviously I wanted to start having that conversation without her walking in, but I just find it interesting that what your take would be, let's say if your son or if you have a daughter in the future had that concern.
So I've always thought about this actually. So I always thought if I had a daughter, how I would counteract this, because for me it was really hard. Like I was bullied a lot growing up, and because I was just honestly so different. I grew 6 inches when I was 8 years old in 1 year. So much so that my knee joints weren't joined and I had to walk on crutches because my bones didn't grow fast enough basically. So, and I remember not being like, I was quite shy until I was about 14, I think because of that reason, because I was so tall and I felt a bit like inhibited by who I was. And I wasn't depressed by it, but I did often think to myself, I wish I was just like 3 inches shorter.
Yeah, because why those 3 inches? Why just those 3 inches? Tall, 6'1" is just fine, or 6, you know.
And I think it's because I was like, if I wear heels now, I'm 6'7" when I wear heels, and now I don't care. But back when I was younger, I felt like walking into let's just talk about post-teenager, walking into a nightclub, I literally am so much taller than everyone there, and it does stand out. And I would feel kind of like, oh, I just want to crawl into a hole and, you know, not stand up and be so tall.
Did you but have a curvy body already?
No. Oh, I was curvy, but I was lean, if that makes sense. Like I've always had an hourglass shape, but I was quite quite toned and quite lean. I've always played sport growing up. It's just so now post baby, my body has changed a lot. But I think for young women, there's a lot more education these days, which is amazing, about the differences in your body shape and confidence and online trolling and all that type of thing. But really, it's just consistent positive reinforcement that you can never compare yourself to your friends. Your friendship group will never be as tall as you. Most likely, I literally have never had a friend taller than me in my life. And I have known this. All my best friends are 5'2". They're tiny, tiny, beautiful Asian women. And I'm just like, you are completely different to me. But I think knowing the value in yourself and just... It's just a part of growing up. Unfortunately, those formative years when you're a young woman and then a teenager and then moving into your early 20s is tough. But what will happen is you will grow up and understand and realize the power of this height. It's just at that moment, you're just thinking about how others perceive you, where you'll move through that stage and you'll use it to your advantage in the future. Or if you don't, you should. Absolutely. I can tell you how many business meetings I've walked into in heels and like a beautiful dress, and people have literally just been like, and I can command the room purely because of my height. I mean, in saying that as well, other people are intimidated and then, you know, treat you a bit like because they are scared of how tall you are. But I am just really bold. I'm so direct and I'm really bold in the way that I speak. And I was not like that until I was about 16. But I think it's just growing.
Do you know what changed around then? Was it a boyfriend? Was it moving, going out, starting to go out more?
I think honestly it was, I had a change in friendship group. And all of a sudden it was a more inclusive friendship group. I didn't feel sort of like this just like little shell that I was prior. I felt alive in who I was as a person. And I think it's also just that awakening of when you become in your late teens and understanding who you are as a person and your personality and being around others that support that personality. I'm not one to have like a big friendship group. Like a small friendship group that I can count on, and you know, they are the same people as me, and you know, I'll have acquaintances and things like that, but I really just only trust a small group of people. And I've always been like that because I am a sensitive human and I am super empathetic to people's feelings and emotions. So when I get to see someone, getting bullied or, you know, for the way that they look or something like that, I am the first to stand up to their defense. And I think that's because no one really stood up to my defense when I was younger. And I think that's an asset that it just takes tenacity and I suppose like going through the motions to build. And I think that's all you can offer to young women is that constant reinforcement and love and positivity and making sure they're surrounded by a great group of friends and have a really supportive family, because it will be difficult. Don't get me wrong. All my friends that have tall daughters are the same, you know, they feel for them. They just know what's coming based off their own experiences.
Oh, really?
But just do what you needed as a young woman, you should offer them as they grow up. And it's not an easy path. You know, I don't think so. I think it's definitely something that is celebrated later in life, for sure.
Absolutely. And that's why I started T Factor, is not only to help myself go through the motions as well of understanding, helping me understand how my upbringing and my formative years have influenced so much of my life and so many of the choices that I've made in my life. And I mean it coming from a place, and I've recently realized that I've come from a place of fear, and a place of shame. I was ashamed. And that's what I want to try to show people outside who are listening, that we have a choice. We are faced. We know that we can be supported. There are so many groups online now, and there is this podcast, for example. There are so many places that we can go for positive reinforcement if we know how to search for it and if we know how to find it. Because it's, as you say, negativity and negative comments, you have the choice to not even read them, just delete them, read them. It's like they never happened. You can choose to live in a place of positivity. And if you are influenced by too much negativity and you start believing what's being said about you or believing what people put on you because of their issues with themselves, then you start into getting into a vicious cycle that is hard to get out of. And I just want people to really realize that there is all the help that you can get out there, especially here in the podcast. I just love everything that you're saying. I'm thinking about your parents, how brave they've been to teach you to stand tall and proud. I love that you've gone into a career of creating visions for other people the same way you have the vision for yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, I just love education, honestly. My mum's a teacher, and I think everyone thought that I would be a teacher, you know, because just I feel like the power in just helping and educating others, but I've done it in a different way. You know, I've helped business owners, you know, create amazing businesses, and I honestly love mentoring women that are coming up in their career that they don't know what they are doing, you know, whether they be in marketing or something else, showing them that you actually have the most creative spark in there. You just need to let it out and not let fear and the fear of failing allow you to stop. You know, there are so many solutions to a problem. You just have to keep trying until you find the right one. And I think, especially in this world where there is a lot of consumption on social media, and there's a lot of knowledge as well, which is great, but there's also a lot of competition to be the best and the most productive and hustle all the time, which is just, you know, not realistic. Honestly, everyone needs to like have a balanced life. And I think the pressure to achieve at a young age is so massive. I remember turning 25 and felt like I hadn't achieved anything, even though I'd lived in a few countries since that point, and then turning 30 and feeling, oh my gosh, like all my friends at home are either having children and engaged and buying houses and great in their career, and I have nothing because I've lived overseas for the past 7 years. But everyone, you know, in perspective would look at my life and be like, you have done so much cool stuff. But I think it's just that mindset of trying to be better than what you are, because everyone only puts up the most glamorous side of their life. And that's what I love sort of breaking down to people and being like, you know, your life is your own journey. You know, if you would, whenever you feel like the time is right to start doing great for yourself in whatever aspect it may be, that's when you just need to commit to yourself. And I love to use the word like confident positive. So I know that there's body positive, which is where you're proud of your body and things like that, but being confident positive, so confident in your skills and what you can bring to society and yourself and others, that there's no room for doubt, because you know how good you are. You know, you embrace your strengths, but you also accept your weaknesses. So you don't shy away from things you can't do. You acknowledge them, because if you acknowledge what you're not great at, then it's less of a pain point within your own mental state. You accept it, and then you can do the things that you're proud of or you like doing more. And I think that's really important for young people, especially in business, to understand and also like not shy away from things that they aren't good at, because there's, you know, everyone's bad at things. I'm bad at so many things, but what's made me successful is that I know what I'm great at, and that's my biggest asset. And I will hit all those points really hard and get help or knowledge or educate myself on how to be better at those other things.
It's like Oprah Winfrey. Imagine if she was only stuck in the fact that she yo-yo diets and she cannot lose the weight or anything, and then it would prevent her from going in front of the camera. Exactly. Imagine if that was the case. You know, she knew she wasn't good at holding down the weight or her ideal weight, but she still pushed through. Mm-hmm. And she was still on camera and she changed the world. She changed the lives of so many people.
Absolutely.
What are your favorite fashion brands? What are the top, what can you get in Australia? Oh, there's, and before we get into that, there's another question I wanted to ask you as you were growing up. Could you find clothes in Australia?
No. So I remember, I mean, being coming from Queensland, it's hot here all year round, basically.
It is hot. So there's no winter. Okay.
Our winter, I mean, back then our winter was, I'm talking, it's like a low of 12 degrees Celsius, which is, you know, not even cold for a lot of people. But for us, that was winter. But now it definitely does get a bit colder than that. But I remember my mom having to order these custom jeans, and I can't even remember where they were from, but no one made long jeans. I was always like a 36 inseam, basically. Yeah. And I remember, us having to order this ridiculously expensive pair of jeans and just being like, what is going on? And then when I grew up and I became a teenager, I mustn't just have never worn long pants, because honestly, I don't remember ever like sourcing them. But I remember when I was a teenager and then early 20s, I would buy jeans from True Religion because they were the only brand I could find with a 36 inseam, and they were so expensive.
Yeah, I remember when they first came out.
Yeah.
But these were the jeans that were supposed to be worn with heels for other women.
Yes. Right? I know, but for me, they were like, they would hit my ankle, and I still have them in my cupboard.
I think I cried the first day I found them.
Oh,
I had a tear in my eye. Like, oh my God.
But back then there wasn't really size celebration or size inclusion, honestly, or a length inclusion and especially not in Australia. Honestly, I feel like we are so behind the eight ball in so many things.
Very interesting, because for me, Australia, I'm imagining, you know, beach people, and I see the surfer dude always with his surf, and he's tall and muscular. And so it's not really the case for women either.
No, because I feel like we're a bit late adopters, honestly, in Australia. Like, a lot of trends are set in the States and the UK and in Europe, and then we kind of bring them over here. You know,
Australians are not very tall.
I feel like a lot of people say that we are, but I just don't think we are. I don't think we're a very tall nation,
it's
really.
Like, people think that Swedish people are tall, and they're not really. They're taller than Italians, but they're not as tall as, you know, people from Holland.
Yeah. Well, my partner's actually Dutch, so his family is really tall, and I mean, for them, I don't know. I feel like what's sad is in Australia, you know, the average woman is a size, I think it's like a size 16 now. It's an average size in Australia. And it's really rare that, like, well, I'd say maybe in the last 6 to 10 years, that's when sizing has become more inclusive. But for tall people over here, honestly, you have to shop online. I have literally shopped online since I was a teenager, because I cannot find what I want over here. I never go to shops, ever.
Yeah,
everything from online books that I can find. Honestly, I've probably given up trying to find the perfect fit on my body, because I actually have like shorter legs and a really, really long torso, so pants fit me really differently depending on what style they are. Because I have an hourglass figure, it's all right, because I have a small waist, so it generally does work with shorter pants. But I normally just shop from like all different online retailers. But I think,
what would be your top jeans for today?
It's funny, because I obviously work a lot with Fashion Nova, and I was like, it says like 29 inseam or 32 inseam on the website. And I was like, I'll just try them. They actually go to my ankles, and some of them actually bunched on my ankles, even though they say that, which is so weird, because I mean, I have a few pairs that I would be like, if I was you, do it. So long, so comfortable, great quality.
So which one is that?
That's Fashion Nova, but I'll find that I just literally got a brand new pair of jeans I put up on the weekend on my Instagram, and they are so long. I was so surprised. I'll have to find out what style they are. But what I love about their denim, it's great quality. It stretches really well. But the way that they cut in the body, it wouldn't matter if you had a long torso or a short torso and long legs. It would still complement that. But I think I used to buy from Alloy Apparel when I lived in New York. And I don't mind them, but I find that the quality of denim is different. It's not as stretchy. And for me, I need stretch because I have a curvy figure and it looks better on my body basically. So, but in terms of like dresses, like for basically like sort of ball gowns or like really glamorous, super long dresses, Abyss by Abby is like my number one. Abyss by Abby. I think they're American. They have the most beautiful, beautiful long dresses you'll ever see. And another really long brand in Australia. Oh, what was it called? Oh, I've forgotten. It's a designer. He's an Australian, a famous Australian designer. He starts with M and now I can't remember his name. But he used to make really amazing long maxi dresses and things like that. So I think I always look... This is funny. I always look for maxi dresses to buy as midi dresses if I really, really like them because I love a midi. I love a midi dress. But I think for pants, it is lit. It's, you know, it's a funny thing to find the people that work for you. You know, a lot of my good friends in Australia, they buy Jeans West, which is an Australian brand, and they have a really long inseam on the inner leg. For me, they didn't really work for my body, but they worked for them. But I think it's just finding what works for your shape, you know? And I suppose if you're a body that is more, you know, square and you don't really have those curves, your hips and everything, you probably could fit the brands that don't really work for me, I suppose. But because my body is so long, my weight distribution is obviously very different to someone who's, you know, 5'11". Do you know what I mean? It has a different look to my body. So I think it's just testing a lot of the time and finding really what works for you. But
what size you have?
Sorry, say that again.
What shoe size do you wear?
So I always wore a 10 Australian women, but now I wear sometimes an 11 as well because my feet grew when I had my child.
You know what that is in US?
I actually think it's the same. I think yours is like, I think our 10 is like your 10 and a half, I think.
What about, do you know what it is with English? I can convert English.
I think English is an 8. I think a 10 is an 8 in the UK. So I think a 9 is an 11 in the UK.
I think it's a 10 US as well then.
Yeah, so...
You have small feet.
I do have small feet. Funny. But you know what's great about now is because my feet have grown, there is so much more inclusivity in size 11. I see it everywhere. It's almost like size 11 has become just a standard number now. So, you know, it's up to size 11. So...
But it is
great, you know what I mean, for women that have slightly over, because there's obviously a lot of shoe stores now that do cater like 13s, 14s and things like that that I have seen. And a lot of my girlfriends that I have met online that are taller than me all have much larger feet than me. So I'm lucky because literally there's nothing in Australia bigger than a size 10 until like a few years ago. So
Coats. Do you know where to find coats?
Okay, so my coats that I used to buy when I lived in New York, I actually used to buy from Uniqlo.
It's funny because you don't need coats where you are, so that's
not here. But I'm trying to think back. So I used to buy them from Uniqlo and Topshop. Yeah. And Fashion Nova actually have amazing long coats now that fit beautifully. And where's my other ones from? What's it called? Monaco.
Club Monaco.
Oh, Club Monaco. I have a great jacket from there that I love. That was actually quite long.
But it was long in the arms, in the sleeves?
It actually was long in the arms. I think I bought a size up though for that reason. But I think my best ever fitting coat, I'm just trying to think. I'm pretty sure it was from Tall Topshop. Because
they're tall.
Yeah, it was really long in the arm. It was wool. It was beautiful. It was very fitted. But I had so many. I'm just trying to think back because I had so many different ones at the time. But that's been like a good 8 years since I've bought a coach. So
dusting away in your closet.
I know. I love them so much. Uh-huh. But in terms of boots, by the way, there is an Australian brand called City Chic, and they make shoes up to size 14, and they make for large calves, large feet, wide feet, whatever it may be. So I just bought a pair of over the knee boots, and they were like $50 Australian, which is probably like 25 or 30 US, like really inexpensive, so high, so roomy on the calves. And I also used to buy from Call It Spring. That was another one I used to buy for my legs in the US. And I used to buy from this really cheap store in New York, and I'm trying to think of what it's called, but they had the longest boots ever, and they were made for wide calves. And I think it was called like, oh, it was like a fun name. It was on the east side. I can't remember now. I'll have to think about it.
I have to tell you, it might be closed, I'm afraid, because so many businesses have closed in New York City. I still haven't been since COVID, but I hear it's quite something else.
It would be sad. I do walk around Australia and there's a lot of places that are closed too. And it is really, really confusing.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for today.
Oh, you're welcome. No worries. Thank you. This has been a great chat.
It's flowing through my body. I can feel it. I can feel it.
Now how about that for a good dose of consistent optimism and being confident, positive always? Alexis Fenton is a rare find. She has learned how to use her body in a positive way and an effective way for her business and for herself. And I couldn't be happier to have met her and chatted with her. Her businesses, like Yesterday Management and Brand Fluff, are there for you to help you create your brand, elevate your brand, and she, as you have heard, knows her shit. And of course, I couldn't leave us today without a Kylie Minogue song. I mean, come on, Australia, hello. And she's coming out with a new album in November, and I thought I'd just pop up Magic here, which is one of her new singles from that disco album. It's kind of cute. I like it, like she is.